This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Asia Pacific Currents.
News and labour issues from the Asia Pacific region.
We strongly condemn the police that arrest the protesters.
Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock.
On Community Radio 3CR.
Workers of the world should unite to fight this greedy capitalist.
Brought to you by Australia Asia Worker Links.
Good morning, listeners, and it's a beautiful Saturday out there. And my name is Pierre Morrow, and I'll be bringing you this week's program of Asia Pacific Currents, brought to you every week by Australia Asia Worker Links here on this 23rd of April. And you were just listening to a song by Phil Osh. I'm not too sure what the title was. And thanks to Solidarity Breakfast for another interesting program. Now, I'm here by myself on the program today. Giselle will be back in a couple of weeks with lots more interviews. And of course, if you like what you hear, or if you're interested to know more about what we talk about on this show about labour struggles in the Asia Pacific region, you can go to AAWL's website, which is allthews.aawl.org.au, or you can find us on Facebook or on Twitter. And the stories that Labour roundup of the stories from the region will be up later tomorrow on our website. So on today's program, as we'll have the usual news roundup from the region of struggles and updates, but also in the second half of the program, I'll be talking with Josh Cullinan, who is the Secretary of the Australian Bangladesh Solidarity Network organisation, about the Rana Plaza commemoration that are happening in Melbourne on Sunday and worldwide. And we're really going to be talking about what happened in Dhaka 3 years ago in Bangladesh. And I'm sure a lot of listeners would remember the Rana Plaza collapse, the huge tragedy. But we'll have a bit of a look back at what has happened and what has happened since then and what the commemorations are all about. So certainly stay tuned, and it's going to be an interesting program. But we'll go straight to the news roundup, where on this week, on the 28th of April, it's International Workers' Memorial Day. Now, Workers' Memorial Day is held every year around the world. Events and actions are held by labour organisations and activists to remember those who have died or have been injured at the workplace. Millions of workers annually are injured or killed at the workplace. The day is also a reminder that genuine, independent unions are the best guarantee for a safe workplace for all. And a recent example of the importance of unions just happened earlier this week here in Melbourne, with the collapse of a wall at a construction site. And it was a site that the CFMEU actually closed the day before, and then officials from various departments actually reopened it and said it was safe, and the next day the wall collapsed. Fortunately, no one was injured. In Victoria, a number of events will be held throughout the state on the 28th of April. And of course, another big event is coming up this week. And of course, it's May Day, which is Sunday week. Of course, it's the 1st of May, and May Day has been celebrated internationally since 1886 as a day for workers to unite worldwide as a class. Capitalists and governments are killing us in our workplaces and in our communities. Workers need to stop the politics of austerity and war. There will be marches in solidarity with workers in struggle everywhere around the globe, and rallies and demonstrations will be held in hundreds of cities. In Melbourne, Australia, the May Day rally will be at 1 p.m. on Sunday the 1st of May, starting from outside Trades Hall in Lygon Street, South Carlton.
That's right. This is Brother West from the American Empire trying to keep alive the legacy of John Coltrane, Curtis Mayfield, Nina Simone, and I am so glad you are listening to 3CR, because 3CR is a force for good. It's telling the truth and allows you both to laugh, not at, but with others. Oh, what a grand radio station it is.
And of course, 3CR Radio, it's 40th anniversary of being on air this year, and there's been a number of events that have been celebrating this birthday, the 40th birthday, including a special outside broadcast and also a book launch that will be happening early next month, and I will play an announcement for it later in the program. But we'll go back to the Labor updates, where here, just a local one, where the giant Coles supermarket chain continues to pay many of its workers below the legal minimum wage. Coles workers are exploited under a terrible enterprise bargaining agreement signed thanks to the efforts of the largest yellow union in Australia, the Shop Distributors Alliance, or SDA. But the EBA is being contested, so possibly thousands of workers will improve their wages. The current case has been taken to court by Duncan Hart and individual members of both the SDA and the AMIEU, the Meat Workers Union. The SDA is sitting with Coles management in the hearings, which is very interesting, but then again, it is a totally yellow and pro-boss union. Workers are invited to the hearing at the Fair Work Commission at 11 Exhibition Street, Melbourne, on Wednesday, the 27th of April, from 9:30 in the morning. So support Duncan and the meat workers and wait justice for all workers at Coles. So that's this Wednesday, 27th of April, from 9:30 in the morning at 11 Exhibition Street in central Melbourne. We now go to the other side of Asia, to West Asia, where Palestinians mark International Prisoners Day. There are over 7,000 Palestinian prisoners held in Israeli jails currently, many either locked up in administrative detention without trial or convicted of protesting against the Israeli occupation. The 17th of April, so it was just earlier in the week, is known as the International Day of Solidarity with Palestinian Prisoners. Solidarity actions were held throughout the world, as well as a symbolic one-day hunger strike by 3,000 Palestinian prisoners in Israel's jail. One individual, Sami Janazra, has been on hunger strike for over 7 weeks now, and there are real fears he might die soon. Palestinians see the continued incarceration of the activist as an attempt by the Israeli government to defeat their struggle against occupation, and that is part of why there are such worldwide protests against such widespread imprisonment of Palestinian activists.
Hey, are you curious? Do you want to see how a busy radio station works? Do you want to know how over 300 broadcasters come together to produce radio 24/7? Are you interested in seeing the inside of a radio studio? Or do you want to find out more about 3CR's unique radio philosophy? Let me take you on a station tour. For $90, 3CR offers one-hour radio station tour for groups at a time that suits you.
Radio.
So if you're part of a community organization, student group, or institution, give 3CR a call on 94198377. For more information about radio station tours at 3CR, go to 3cr.org.au and click on Station Tours.
It's just on 9 past 9 o'clock, and you're listening to Asia Pacific Currents, brought to you every week by Australia Asia Worker Links on your favourite community radio station, 3CR, who is now 40 years old. We stay in West Asia, where the popular protests against the government in Iraq continue. Now, while a lot of the focus of the world media has been on the internal civil war in Iraq, workers and their communities in areas not affected directly by the war continue to suffer under a corrupt and dysfunctional political system. The mass protests that we actually reported on that started last year have continued in 2016, causing the country's political system to grind to a halt. The parliament has actually been suspended at the present moment. While these protests have demanded the end to corruption, nepotism and sectarianism, at this stage they lack an independent organisational structure and may fall prey to further sectarian tensions. So this is a very interesting area to look at, to see if out of these protest movement some new organisation can be constructed that will actually take the workers' demands forwards and not to fall prey to reactionary and fundamentalist forces once again in Iraq. And we now go to Southeast Asia, where there is a coordinated campaign by activists around the world to target exploitation that's happening in palm oil plantations. Early next month, labour activists are going to coordinate an advocacy campaign against the global company PepsiCo over its indifference on labour right violations in oil palm plantations. PepsiCo is a huge buyer of palm oil for its snack food products and beverages. The exploitation of workers in the vast oil plantations of Malaysia and Indonesia has been well documented over the past few years. And if you go on our AWR website, you'll find many links to some of these stories.
Ask me for a clue, and I will always tell you true. Listen with your words.
Hi, I'm Sarah from Dash, and you're listening to 3CR.
It's true, it's safer when I'm here with you. It's true.
And we get to the last two items for our news roundup. And we go to Sri Lanka, where this month hundreds of workers employed at the Ceylon Electricity Board, employed to read household meters, went on strike demanding that they be made permanent employees. The issue of precarious employment has been fought against by these workers for a number of years, and certainly it's something that a lot of Australian workers who are employed on short contract, casual, and such like contracts know all about it. It has become a real scourge for workers all around the world, insecure work. This week, after a strike of 3 weeks, the workers at CEB ended their actions after a successful negotiations with the Power and Energy Minister, Ranjith Siyambalapithia, who promised to resolve the issue of their insecure employment status. So we'll keep a watch, an eye out on that, to see if the minister is true to his words. And for the last item, we come back to Australia, where it's a bit of a sad item, because the legendary Aboriginal activist Tigger Bales up in Queensland died at age 62. Tigger Bales was a long-time advocate and activist for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders industrial and civil rights, and he died this week after a long illness. Tiger was central to the long-running fight by Aboriginal workers in the state of Queensland to recover the stolen wages. The Queensland Council of Unions acknowledged Tiger's huge contribution to the working class movement up there. Tiger was also a long-time broadcaster and journalist for Aboriginal media, and was well known to many people here at 3CR Radio. He will be sorely his death will be sorely missed. He will be sorely missed because of his death. And our condolences go to his family and community. That's the end of our news roundup for this week. Again, if you like to know more information about them, and a lot of our news items do have links to more in-depth reporting, you can go to our website at aawl.org.au, and you can follow them up and read them further. These items will be up on our website late tomorrow evening, but there's lots more currently there. We'll go to some community announcements, and then we'll be back with the interview with Josh Cullinan, who is the Secretary of the Australia Bangladesh Solidarity Network Organisation.
Ladies and gentlemen, this panel is now on air.
In July 1976, from an old warehouse in High Street, Armidale, 3CR Community Radio hit the airwaves, heralding 40 years of independent, community-owned and controlled radio.
This will be the first station owned and operated by a cooperative of community organisations on a Melbourne-wide basis. This is 3CR.
As the status quo of old media is challenged, as publications come and go, in a country with the highest concentration of media ownership in the world, 3CR continues to broadcast radical, insightful radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
We're not talking about land rights, we're talking about sovereignty. That's why it's important for us to be at the 10 Embassy.
From the protests against the Franklin River Dam to the 1998 waterfront dispute, from the East-West Tunnel picket to the Aboriginal 10 Embassy, the history of 3CR is dynamic and passionate and ongoing.
I was born here. I will die here. I am not moving.
So as we celebrate 40 years in 2016, we ask you, our volunteers, listeners and supporters, to join in saying,
Happy birthday, 3CR!
Hey, this is Nick from Pinyao. You're listening to 3CR. Please support community radio and your local music scene. Subscribe now. Give money back to the people that give music to you.
It's just on 17 past 9 o'clock here on Asia Pacific Currents on your favourite community radio station, 3CR Radio. And as mentioned before at the start of the program, the Rana Plaza collapse in Dhaka, Bangladesh, 3 years ago was a huge disaster where over 1,000 workers died. And I've got on the line with me Josh Cullinan, who is the Secretary of the Australian Bangladesh Solidarity Network. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Pierre.
Now, some listeners would recollect quite well what happened 3 years ago in with the Rana Plaza collapse in Dhaka. But would you be able to give us a quick rundown of what happened and why?
Sure. So on the 23rd of April 2016, this major nine-storey building that had five garment factories in it started cracking. Late in the workday, loud noises were heard and workers fled the building. Some assessments were undertaken. And the next day, on the 24th of April, workers returned and waited outside to identify what was going to happen for their workday. It was an important period because the 24th, 25th of the month, those days need to be worked so that workers get paid for the entire month. So everyone was waiting outside Rana Plaza in Dhaka. Many of the workers that were there that didn't work in garment factories, so there were government offices and other businesses, they were all sent home for the day. Their businesses decided that it wasn't safe to enter. And then others decided that the garment factories would be working that day, and we were told when I was there in 2014 that some of the young women were told by men in suits, so government officials, they considered government officials, that it was safe to work there. Other workers were threatened with no pay for the month if they didn't return to work. And then other workers were just simply beaten back in with lathes and canes. And so workers returned to their work on the morning. It didn't take long before issues started arising, and then there were cracking sounds and big vibrations through the factory, led by some of the electrical equipment, some of the generators running at the top of the building. And then the lights went out and the building collapsed at 8:57 a.m. on the 24th of April 2013. There was something like 5,000-6,000 workers working at the time inside the factory. 1,130-plus workers were murdered that day, and thousands of others were maimed and seriously injured.
I mean, Josh, it's the, you know, the way you describe it. I mean, you've did a fantastic job. It's almost too tragic to comprehend what has happened, and the callousness and the criminal nature of what happened. And like you said, it was the worst, one of the worst industrial disasters in the world. And so, it's been 3 years since that mass murder, really. So what has happened to garment workers, and especially to the survivors of Rana Plaza, and even to the owners of those factories?
Well, Rana Plaza was at the time just the latest in a long history of garment worker murders or industrial murders in Bangladesh. There were factory collapses and major factory fires. Only 6 months before, there was a factory fire at Tazreen Fashions, which claimed the lives of 130-plus workers. One of the startling issues is that there's never been an owner or a factory builder prosecuted and convicted of murder or equivalent conduct in Bangladesh. They had arrested the man who ran the building, who owned the building. He'd built the building on swamplands. He'd added three stories on top, and had made it an unsafe work environment from the outset. But he remains in jail. He hasn't been convicted yet, as have none of the others involved. No manager, no owner, no boss has ever been convicted in Bangladesh of these kinds of crimes, and those owners have a very substantial sway on government, holding many, many seats and bringing in a great amount of wealth to the country. So that element remains frustrating, but worker organisations continue to press for conviction. Later that year, there were mass strikes, almost spontaneous strikes, really, not led by any union or other movement. It was just spontaneous workers' uprisings about low pay and about unsafe conditions. Those actions led to substantial increases in the minimum wage. But what we learned when we were there in 2014 was that has now been entirely clawed back, because those outcomes weren't achieved through any common union process. There was no system to stop the landowners and the factory owners from clawing back the minimum wages by arbitrarily setting higher targets with mass unpaid overtime and the landlords putting up the cost of housing and the cost of food substantially. All of those benefits were wiped out. We now have a system of factory inspections led largely by the Accord, which is the more progressive of the two types of factory inspections, but they cover only about a quarter of factories. The rest have remain uninspected, and even those factories that do get inspected, they're not the in-depth inspections of health and safety that we would expect in Australia. The factories remain operating, even though there are concerns about columns and about foundations and about electrical and fire safety. There is much, much work to be done. Since that factory collapse in Rana Plaza, there has been other fires that have claimed the lives of workers, including workers that make for Australian companies.
Now, some of our listeners will probably be thinking that possibly the unions in Bangladesh are very weak.
There's different types of unions in Bangladesh. There are some very, very committed and active unionists, but they are small in number. We're talking about a 4 to 5 million person workforce, over 7,000 factories, 5,000 registered factories, and only 4 or 5% of those factories have what we would consider some form of union. So the union movement is also splintered. So in those 500 factories or really 200 factories, 300 factories that have some form of union, there would be 70-plus different unions that try and represent them. So the union movement in garment work in Bangladesh is weak. There's no other way to describe it. Us and the union movement more broadly across the world want to see that change, but the tools of capitalism are writ large in Bangladesh, and it makes it very hard to organise workers, and it's done under the threat of death.
Yes, it's a very, very serious situation. But getting back as a last question, getting back to the third year anniversary, ABSN, yourself and with other individuals of the organisation have organised quite a significant commemoration for the third year anniversary of the Rana Plaza collapse here in Melbourne. Would you like to give us the details?
Yeah, absolutely. We were delighted with the participation over the last 2 years, and it's grown as an event. It'll be on Sunday, so tomorrow at 12:45, we'll gather. We'll have Michelle O'Neill from the TCFUA will be speaking. We'll have some moment silence at 12:57, which is the Melbourne time when the factory collapsed, and then we'll have a production by Many Moons Productions, the street theatre, to remind us of some of the things that happened on that day. It'll go probably for no more than half an hour, from 12:45, in the Bourke Street Mall, just outside those fashion icons such as Maya, David Jones, and Just Jean. So everyone is welcome to come and join us. It'd be great to have a good crowd.
All right, well, fantastic. Thanks for that, Josh. And I think the weather gods will be smiling on you as well. So thanks again. Just to reiterate, it starts at 12:45 at the Bourke Street Mall tomorrow on Sunday, 24th of April. So thanks again, Josh, and we wish you all the very best with all your endeavours.
Thank you, Pierre.
Yeah, all right. Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Nick from Pinyao. You're listening to 3CR. Please support community radio and your local music scene. Subscribe now. Give money back to the people that give music to you.
1, 2, 3, 4. And that was Josh Cullinan, who is the secretary of the Australian Bangladesh Solidarity Network organisation, talking about the Rana Plaza collapse of 3 years ago, what has happened since then, and also the commemoration to continue the fight to remember all the workers who were murdered, but also to continue the fight for justice and for the fight for independent, genuine trade unions in Bangladesh. And so that's at 12:45 Bourke Street Mall tomorrow, Sunday, 24th of April. That's really all that we've got time for on today's program of Asia Pacific Currents. We hope that you enjoyed the program, you found that interesting. Again, if you want more information, you can contact us through our website, which is allthews.aawl.org.au, or through our Facebook or Twitter accounts. So thank you very much, and I hope you keep enjoying your Saturday morning. We'll be back next week again at 9 o'clock with another program, Asia Pacific Currents, bringing you the labour updates from the Asia Pacific region. But stay listening to 3CR and to Palestine Remembered coming up straight after these community announcements.
Hi, my name is Lex Wharton and I listen to 3CR, and I hope you do too. I hope that you could support 3CR in its radiothon, because 3CR supports the fight for communities and support in all areas of struggles. So please listen to 3CR.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.